Righto, from JMO Wealth, Andrew Callagher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
One of your favourite numbers, this is not consents, this is the stuff we've actually done, hammers swinging, what do we know?
Stuff we've actually done. Hey, Mike, at least we're both still here at the end of a week of resignation, so I think we should pat ourselves on the back for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's because we're really good at what we do.
Now let's talk this. We touched on building consents recently, and building consents are forming a base. So no lift in those consents yet, but they're not getting any worse. The implication from those consents, though, is still a wee wait for residential construction to recover, because you get that lag from consents to actual work, the actual work that happens. So you'd expect to see consents lift ahead of a residential construction recovery. But then yesterday we get what's called building work put in place from Stats New Zealand. So this looks at what actual work has been done. And the key takeaway here, this data is for Q4, for the last quarter of last year, is the data shows that building work done was weaker than expected. So building work put in place declined 4.4% in the fourth quarter. So that's quite a material fall. Residential work fell 4.9% to 5.4 billion in terms of value, and non-residential work fell 3.1% seasonally adjusted. So that's all final quarter of last year. So the implication from this is that there won't be a lot of contribution to Q4 growth or GDP from the construction sector. And in seasonally adjusted terms, residential building activity volume reached its lowest level in over 4 years. So that's in a material number as well. And if you take a slightly wider lens, building activity peaked back in 2022. It's now declined close to, it's 18%, let's call it, getting close to 20% since then. That's been held up by non-residential construction because it's done better. It's been more resilient. Residential construction is probably closer to 25% down. Well, what we should do here, though, is look forward. It should improve. I mean, consents have stabilized, and that's what you need before they go up. Interest rates are falling, but as we've said, you're really looking probably at this as later in 2025 than earlier.
Tell you what, there's a lot of expectation on later 2025, isn't there, at the moment? By the time we get to August, September, something better be happening. Now, the oil price, I'm looking at that this morning. You're looking at $3 for the 98 at the moment.
$3 for the 98. Yeah, well, and look, at this stage, it's holding on under $70. So big slump in the oil price. We noted this yesterday. Good news for cost of living because oil price feeds through to many parts of our day-to-day lives. And I think I pointed out a couple of days ago that it was holding on that $70 level. That's proven to be a support level, really going back for about 3 years. Then it fell through it. So what's going on? Look, at the big sort of macro level, there's concern that this Trump tariff explosion will slow economic activity, and that will cut demand for crude. But it's also becoming apparent, though, that the actual shape of the tariff landscape is, shall we call it, a moving palette?
Yeah.
But that doesn't really help the uncertainty, which, as I've said, is the buzzword and theme of early 2025. But as is always the case, Mike, there's more going on. So the first, you've got one thing to think about here. How would suppliers to the US respond to these tariffs? Now, Mexico, for instance, it exports crude oil to the US. Its product is now being hit with a 25% import tariff, so it may look to sell its product elsewhere, which means there's more supply going to other places. At the same time, over the last few days, a couple of other contributing factors. US crude stocks showed a larger-than-expected buildup of inventory. So crude inventories rose by 3.6 million barrels to 433.8 million barrels. So as I say, that was unexpected. On top of that, earlier in the week, out of OPEC, a group of OPEC members, including Russia, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Kuwait, and some others, they've announced that they will start unwinding a $2.2 million barrel per day cut from April. So more supply there. But actually, to sweeten all of that as well, Mike, is that Kiwi dollar has lifted against the US. It's at 57.54. So that makes imports cheaper. So it's just all good. It's all good
it's
for the user there, isn't it?
Now, what are the numbers?
Right, so US coming under a little bit of pressure. Nobody knows what's happening with the tariffs at all. And you're right to pick up on that that employment number overnight, Mike, because we've got non-farm payrolls tonight as well. So it really brings that into focus as to what's happening in the labour market. Dow Jones is down 441 points, 1%, 42,576. The S&P 500 is down just under 100 points now, 1.7%. That has slumped in the last half hour, 5742, as has the NASDAQ. NASDAQ is down 384 points, over 2%, 18,168. Overnight, the FTSE 100 lost 0.75%, closing at 8,690. The Nikkei was up yesterday about 0.75%, 37,704. Shanghai Composite up over 1%, 3,381. The Aussies yesterday, they were down 0.57%, 46 points, 8,094 on the ASX 200. We eked out a very meagre gain yesterday of 17 points, 12,428. As I said, Kiwi dollar on the wholesale markets, 0.5752 against the US, 0.9053 against the Aussie, 0.5314 euro, 0.4460 against the pound, 85.11 Japanese yen, gold, $2,917.
Here we go.
And that crude that we're just talking about, $68.79.
Love it. Have a good weekend. Andrew Kelleher, jmowealth.co.nz.